Let's pray about that. Lord, we have come with open hearts. Open our hearts even more, Lord. Let those ancient words impart. Let them impart what you called them to impart with your word that's a fire and a hammer. Let it impart life. Let it impart faith. Let it impart joy. Let it impart hope. Let it impart love. Let it impart peace. Let it impart power. In Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, this is probably dating myself, but hey, who laughed already? Already? How many of you remember the old version of To Tell the Truth with Gary Moore? Thank you. Oh, he doesn't. Well, for those of you youngsters, what they would have is this game show, okay? And they'd have three contestants with a panel of experts. And these experts were kind of wild. And I think sometimes they've been hitting the bottle, if you know what I mean. Anyway, these experts had to determine, of the three, one person was telling the truth about their livelihood, right? And the other two were imposters. Please stand up. Thank you. Took my line. And this isn't a game in our text for today, but in a sense, in a very serious confrontation, it is a battle of to tell the truth. You have an imposter saying, we are Abraham's children. We have the truth. We know the right way to go, and it's only my way, and everyone else is going to hell. That voice is still out there today, a critical spirit. Jesus came, and this all started when Jesus fed the 5,000 and then later on forgave a woman caught in the act of adultery. And they said, who do you think you are? Well, Jesus said, I'll tell you. I've shown you, now I'll tell you who I am. The truth. He is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So our text today, thank you for where you stopped last week, Pastor Rick. Because Pastor Rick was going to preach a little bit farther and longer as far as the text. And this text, as I mentioned, has been used for years, and I preached on this text many, many times for Rally Sundays and Reformation Days. And I'm going to read it a little bit different translation than even the NIV in this. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He said this to people who made a false profession of faith. They'd been confirmed. They were a church member, and they proudly boasted about their pedigree and how far back it went, and they were charter members of the family of Abraham. And they had it all together, and everyone needs to kowtow to them because they had the truth. Such arrogance and pride they had. It was nauseating to the people around them. There was no love, no life. When people around them were around them, they didn't feel freed up at all. Instead, they felt restricted, like they weren't saying the right thing, doing the right thing. There's always something wrong. And they felt like they had a microscope, and almost they did, looking over their shoulder to see what was wrong, and very quick to tell them what was wrong about their life, but their own lives, oh no, no. No one, they were above it all, supposedly. But through all this, Jesus says to those who made a profession to believe in him, but really didn't, here's the test, he's saying. If you want to know if you're really a disciple of God, a follower of God, here's the test. And by the way, they outline 3 points for today: discipleship, deception, and deliverance. Here's the test. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. Not if you got a Bible when you're confirmed and you have it on the coffee table. Not if you only open it occasionally and only periodically. Not if, even if you memorize the whole Bible. Not only if you just know it all, but if you've gone to seminary. But rather, if you continue in my words, hold to my teaching and live it out. Ah, then you're my disciple. Then come and follow me. The call of the church today is for a new reformation. A continuing reformation that Martin Luther started, actually started before him, Ezra. Back in the days of the Old Testament, the children of Israel had forgotten of the Bibles. They got their new settings and the new church furnishings, if you will, and somebody hid the Bibles. And when they got all situated, no one remembered the Bibles in the back closet, if you put it in our terminology. It's exactly what happened. They got all ready for church. They had all the exterior things, and they forgot the Word of God. It was hiding in a closet. Ezra finds the Bible, the Word of God, hiding in a closet, and he starts reading it. And he starts reading it out loud, and he sat for hours and days, right, announcing the life-giving Word to the people. And the response was amazing, because these were not words of a man. They were used to dull, dry sermons, sleepy time. They heard these life-giving words, and it gave them hope and strength, and they started weeping and crying. And as Ezra's reading the Word of God, he hears this weeping, crying. They hadn't heard these words for so long, and they go, these are ancient words, ever true. And they were moved by it. Fast forward to the Dark Ages. The Dark Age, we think about the book of Acts and all the wonderful things that happened, the way the church was supposed to start with the Word of God, devoted to apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and prayers and fellowship, and signs and wonders being just as much a part of it, and love being just as much as a part of it. All that, not just one part of it, all of it, being the whole church family. But something happened. The light started getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer to the point there wasn't much light left in the church in the Dark Ages. It was man's tradition, man's reason, man's ideas. And a monk named Martin Luther, who almost got killed in a thunderstorm, prayed to the saints, and we shouldn't do that, but he prayed, anybody out there, hear me, get me out of this situation, out of this storm, and I'll help you, I'll serve you. His father wanted to be a lawyer. Martin Luther felt the call to go in the ministry. But as he was at the seminary, totally feeling unworthy to be a monk or a priest, totally unworthy to be called a child of God, I didn't understand God's love because it was all fire and brimstone. That's all you heard. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You'll never be enough. You're never. God is an angry judge, and He's never happy with you. It's never enough, sort of like the Pharisees. And then Luther found this Bible chained to an old, I think it was a pulpit, and he started looking at this Word, and he started reading the Word, and all of a sudden his heart came alive. And he read Romans about the just shall live by good works. No. The just shall live by faith. By grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, from Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And he read these words, and they jumped off the page into his heart, and he says, something's got to be done. He looked around for someone to help him. He got his help, but no one was willing to take charge of the Reformation, be the leader. He says, I'll do it. And he risked everything to let people have the Word of God in their hands. Because before it was only the experts could read the Word and explain the Word, because you're not smart enough to figure it out. Only the reverend doctor knows the truth. And it was destroying the church. And Luther wrote a translation in everyday language. And he gave it to the people. He wrote hymns, like what we just sang, and many others, using bar tunes, the music of the day, with the words of God of yesterday and today and tomorrow. And it changed the world. It changed the world because people got into the Word, right? It was a reformation of the Word of God. Scripture alone. Faith alone. Grace alone. Christ alone. That's what it means to be Lutheran. Not if you wear robes, not if you have certain exterior things. It's what's in the heart. And what is said in the church is that the Word of God, faithfully preached and taught with law and gospel, rightly dividing this Word of truth and handing it to the people and giving it to the people for them to use and for them to share and for them to minister and for the pastor to equip the saints for ministry. Amen? So having said that, Jesus says in our text, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. When Joshua started his ministry to succeed Moses, and by the way, Moses was a peacemaker, the meekest man on earth, the Bible says, and yet leading hundreds of thousands of people, the meekest man on earth. And now it's time for a Kelly to come forward. Here we go. To go into the enemy country and possess the land. It needed someone of a fighting spirit, and that's who Joshua was, the general. But before he could go out and do battle, God had this charge in his ordination, in his commissioning service. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Isn't that great? As I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, and the Hittite country to the great sea and on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Not just your mind, but your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And this is not a legalism. It's having faith in the Word of God and letting that be the power. And then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The call to Joshua, the call to us today, is be in the Word of God. Get into the Word, not man's Word or man's idea about this Word. Get into the actual, what's in the Latin, verba Dei, which means a living, a verb is what, an action. Verbs are action words, right? Dei means God. Verba Dei means the verb of God, the action words of God. These are the action words of God right here. But it takes the Holy Spirit to let that come alive in your heart instead of saying, yeah, whatever, Pastor. Yeah, this is like old news. So what? If you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. That's been so misquoted, that last sentence there. This is not political liberation we're talking about. It's not liberation theology. It's soul liberation. We'll get to that in a little bit. But it's all based on the Word of God. The parable of the sower. Jesus talked, he saw the farmers out there, and he talked about the fact that the sower went out to sow the seed, and you know the story. The seed went on different types of soil. Some produced fruit and had a great harvest. Other, little or no harvest. What was the difference? It was the type of soil, whether the seed could grow in that soil. And Jesus said, look at your heart. Watch out for your heart to make sure that what we talked about here in this song, we have come with open hearts. We really do come with open hearts. And that God opens up our heart with all the junk in it, and we are open to the Word. And we let the whole Word and nothing but the Word, the truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God, be the guiding force of our life. The Word of God is so important, and it's been neglected. And my fear is that many churches are putting the Bibles in the closet. They're taking them out, and they're not bringing them back, and they bring in a different Bible. The Bible of you are God. It's all within you. And it doesn't matter what you believe. It's all we need to get back to the Word, all of us, every day. But you know what? It's going to be harder to be a Christian in our day and age. And Luther had some strong words about that, because he knew what's in a man's heart. And he saw the people, oh, Dr. Luther, we'll be with you in this Reformation. And he looked around, and there weren't a lot of people when it came to whether they're going to die or not. He looked around, there's a few people, maybe one-tenth, he said, of the people who claimed to be faithful, not to Lutheranism, but to the Word of God. Only about a tenth of the people really were faithful to Jesus and to His Word. But this is what he wrote. And I thought it was really interesting. I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to type all this out. But he said this. These people do not stand fast and survive the danger. They fear for their goods, their peace of mind, and their comfort. They are too impatient, and they don't want to suffer. Therefore, they never experience spiritual consolation, nor they ever find out what God really is like, or what a great comfort is available to them, or how this tastes. Those are false Christians. They hear and learn much, but they never come to a knowledge of the truth. They do not understand the truth. They don't learn to speak the words of truth. But if they do, it's like a parrot or a parakeet repeating words spoken by people. Their heart does not feel them. They remain unchanged and do not taste and do not perceive how faithful and true God really is. I suppose that 1/10 of the people really perceive God, while the other 9/10 begin to believe, they think they believe, but they do not perceive. The divine word alone is the cornerstone, the I-beam, the girder, the stanchion, the pillar undergirding our constancy. Therefore, it is imperative that we hold to the plain Word of God, that we cling to the words of Christ. Then we will experience God's help in the midst of danger and upheaval. And he continues, and he says, many want to come with us, but now they want to leave us because he talks basically about the threat of losing everything for the sake of the kingdom. But he says, but the others who remain loyal to God's word endure, suffer, bear, and venture what they must, they'll be freed. As time goes on, they become stronger. They know the truth that Christ will make them free. And that brings us from discipleship to the freedom we have in Christ. The truth will set us free. But number two, though, first of all, we have to watch out for deception. And we have to be honest enough to admit that we're not always free. We're all still caught in sin. We're still addicted to sin and all that's part of it. I have a quote here, and I talked to a Christian psychologist yesterday about to celebrate recovery and about recovery in general among Christians. And he talked about this, about the truth, and about really being honest with ourselves. First of all, he has a story. It says, a fisherman returned from a fishing trip empty-handed. He stopped at a local fish market on the way home. To the dealer, he said, throw me 5 of the biggest trout you've got. Throw them, said the puzzled attendant. What for? So I can tell my wife I caught them. I may be a terrible fisherman, but I'm not a liar. Well, come on. I don't. But there's nothing more important for our growth and recovery than to be honest with us, ourselves, and be honest to God. Because we are all addicted to something. Every last one of us. All of us are in chains, not just those who are still in jail or in prison. We all are in chains to something. Fear, anxiety, worry, lust, workaholism, alcoholism, you name it. It's all out there. Because you know why? We all have a sinful heart. We all have a bent away from God and toward ourselves. And our old man, our old nature. And so we have to be honest with ourselves and realize, you know, I haven't loved God with all my heart and I haven't been Christ-like to others. And so that's why Celebrate Recovery is so refreshing, because people are honest there with themselves and others. And it's an open place where people can get help to recover from their hurts and their habits and their hang-ups. And it is a wonderful place to go to see our Celebrate Recovery. They're all over the valley. And it's a wonderful Christ-centered place to go and to be all that we can be in God's army. Because we all have things that limit us, right? It's like a layer of an onion. We think we've got it, and then we find out there's more junk. Well, that's the way it's going to be till we get to heaven. We're going to find more junk, more poison in the heart, more stuff. So we have to be honest. We have to be real about who God is and who we are and who we're not. Who we're not. So that deception can be so... The lies we tell ourselves. There's some real whopping lies. We don't verbally say it, but inside, there's a whole book on the lies we tell ourselves. Oh, I can handle that. I can drink, no problem. Doesn't get to me. I'll just look at this pornography one time. It won't get to me. I love that girl. I know we're not committed and not married, but God knows that I'm weak. He understands. And I know I gossiped, and I know I slandered that person, but no, it was true. I didn't lie, I didn't make it up. On and on the lies go. And it takes the truth of the two-edged sword of the Word of God to cut in. And it hurts, doesn't it? The truth hurts. Remember the movie, The Lion? You can't handle the truth. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. I don't want to hear da-da-da-da-da-da. But Jesus comes in love. Not like the Pharisees. When He speaks that word of correction to us all, He says it out of love, because I love you. And God the Father says, I only want the best for you. My Ten Commandments are for your good. So we have to look at the lies we tell ourselves, but finally, the deliverance. As we look at this text, it all is based on the Word of God, right? I mean, it's all the Word. It's all a Word. I love it. It's the Word of God and being true to that. And the literal word for word there is logos in the Greek. And the word for that, we get the Greek actual root is legos. The Lego, like Legoland in California with these kids, they love it. I didn't have that when I was a kid, where, you know, these huge Lego things they build. I mean, they're monstrous, just gigantic. The word Lego in Greek actually means laying out one thing upon another. I thought, that's interesting, Legos. The word for word, logos, is the Word of God laid out precept upon precept, one thing upon another, and you start adding all these truths together in the Word of God, and it lays it all out for you. It's all there in the Word of God, right? And it's really neat about that. And the truth, it says, and the truth will set you free. The word for truth in the Greek is no longer in the hiding. No longer hiding. It's like we prayed for a meeting at work, and we had some demonic evil stuff, and we prayed that the truth would come out and the lies would be exposed. Truth is not in hiding. It stands out in the light, out of the darkness, right? Which is pretty neat. So we have, when we talk about discipleship and deception, deliverance is the last. When we pray, deliver us from evil, that word for deliver, I love this word. It means of delivering people out of their addictions and out of their hopelessness. The literal picture in the Greek is someone in this rushing river, and they're moving along this fast rushing stream, and the current is moving them along, and they can't get out of it, and they're going farther and farther and farther away from their homeland. And deliverance is someone who's strong enough, has an arm that can reach out far enough and strong enough to pull them out of that rushing stream. That is the picture for deliverance, to deliver us from evil. And the good news is that Jesus is the only one that has an arm long enough and strong enough to pull out, and He can reach as far out to our loved ones, wherever they might be, and the mess they've got themselves in. Jesus says, don't you worry, Mom or Grandma or Grandpa or Dad. I've got an arm that can reach out to the most prodigal, most hardened sinner and pull them back to shore, to the promised land. But it's all dependent on, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus was constantly in constant vision with the Father in the Father's presence, right? Because you see Jesus, you see the Father. He's always checking out the Father. Constant vision. Constant Holy Spirit. Without measure. Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. What would that must have been like? Well, anyway, it's only when the truth comes that we're set free. Think about what happened this past Friday. We have our 4th of July. Egypt has their 11th of February. The amazing joy of peaceful people wanting to be free. Did you see the joy, especially that a Google executive, when he saw the people rising up and the cry for freedom that's in every heart, and to realize Egypt is free, and the joy. I announce to you right now, in the name of Jesus, whatever you're going through that you feel binding you, Jesus says, I can set you free. And may He set us free. There is freedom in Jesus, and only in Jesus. And we pray, Lord Jesus, we ask that You come to us right now with Your truth, the shining light of the truth through the Holy Spirit. remove the layers of deception in our hearts. Help us to look at our heart, our life, not someone else's. And forgive us. And purify us of all unrighteousness. And set us free from all the junk and all the garbage and all the chains that hold us back from loving you, from loving others, from living life with passion and with joy. And it's all in your word. Help us to be disciples, to continue your word, to continue looking to you, Jesus, and to be delivered. Help us to be set free. Break the chains that bind us. Break the chains. Come, Holy Spirit, set us all free. Help us to step out of the darkness and the dark places of our lives and our hearts and our souls and stand and bask in your Son, in the light of your Son, in the light of your glory, so that we would be changed and radiate and shine with your light and your word in our hearts and your word in our lips, and then people see a difference, and then we can share your truth and set others free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.